Today on the DML News Podcast, we've got some border information. It sounds like Biden's going to keep it open forever. Plus, we're going to discuss the most horrific fight you've ever seen. A young girl named Kaylee, a white girl at that, I should say, is now dying in the hospital because she got beaten. And when you see this video, well, it's all unfiltered.
Dennis Michael Lynch gives you his word, and he will never let you down. He will always fight for America.
The only one who really puts his money where his mouth is Dennis Michael Lynch.
Hello, I'm Dennis Michael Lynch, and I thank you for joining me today. Across from me is Denny. On the controls is Ryan. And yours truly is sitting here with his glasses trying to read things. My God, I'm getting old. Glasses freaking crush me. Anyway, Denny, that's when you're supposed to say, Dad, you're not old.
You're not old.
Okay.
Not that old.
There you go. We have a very powerful show for you today. Very powerful. We're going to spend a long amount of time, good amount of time, going over one of the worst beatings you will ever see. This 15-year-old girl who's in Missouri, she's a white girl. She got just pounded on by a black girl, I assume her age or within that range. It is going to be a disturbing video, and it's going to be towards the end. It's going to be something, it made me cringe. I mean, when I saw what they did to this girl, my body shook. No joke. Your sister was watching me watch it. We're going to put that towards the end of the show. But before that, we are going to talk about stuff with the border that's very interesting. However, let me just put an announcement here. DML CBD, starting on Monday, is going to have a site-wide BOGO. It's going to last till the end of the month. It is one of the last BOGOs we will ever have. I will be giving more explanation on that as it starts next week. But just to kind of give you a prep to get ready for that. Also, tomorrow, on tomorrow's show, I got Grayson's mother to agree to an interview. So we're going to do that for tomorrow. You don't want to miss that. Grayson is the boy we've been talking about this week who is preparing for blindness at 8 years old and then eventually death. So that's going to be a tough one tomorrow for me. I know that. And then also, if you haven't noticed, if you listen to this program on any one of the networks that run podcasts, you're only getting half the show. And the same thing with anybody watching video. Now we're even playing the first half of the video on Facebook. You only get half the show. The only way we can stay in business, and it's not an exaggeration, the only way we can stay in business is if we have more members on Team DML. It's really down when it comes down to it. I can't show the video of that fight. I can't talk about how it needs to be spoken about on Facebook, on Apple Podcasts, or any of it. The censorship in this country is going absolutely bananas, and it's putting people out of business. And I fear that if we don't get more team members, we will be one of those we're out of business. So you get the first portion of this show, and then if you really want the full show, if you love what we do, and you could depart with just a couple of dollars a month, then we appreciate you. You can find out about that. Go to teamdml.com. Or if you have the DML News app, which you could download for free, go to tab 5, which is the Interact tab, and just click Team DML Memberships, and everything will be there in black and white for you to take a look at. Dennis, the border, baby, we talk about it every single day. And the reason why we talk about it every single day is because it's the number one problem facing us in this nation. I don't care what anybody else says. It is the number one problem in the nation. Joe Biden, Barack Obama, they want it this way. They want it this way. Now, Biden will get up on the State of the Union, all amped up, if you will, and he tells people about how this country is safer today than it was when Donald Trump was the president. And he talks about caring about the American people and safety and all those other different things. He could close the border if he wanted to. And he could sign executive orders to end the process. And his secretary, press secretary, was asked about this, about what Biden's going to do. And I'd like to play for you, Denny, the video of what she said. Play it, Ryan.
The president said yesterday that he was hoping executive action on the border would happen by itself, that Congress would legislate it. Can you just confirm for us that this indicates that he's no longer considering executive action on the border?
Well, the president has been very clear, and I've been very clear. Anytime I've asked about executive actions here, the bottom line is in order to have change, extensive change, real change, comprehensive change, that Senate bill that was negotiated between Republicans and obviously Democrats in the Senate would have been the best way to go. It would have been the toughest, fairest piece of legislation, law, if you will, if it had been moved and the president was able to sign it into law. And that's what's important. The president is trying to make it very clear no executive action would have that effect, the effect that this bipartisan negotiation would have.
So, Dan, what's your feeling on that whole thing? Because I know that you and your brother are extremely interested in immigration, following in Dad's footsteps. What's your take when you hear her say that?
I think they just expect at this point that we all have the mental capacity of squirrels, as if we're not going to remember that when Biden first stepped into office, literally within his first few days, issued, 90-plus executive orders that were counterintuitive to actual border security. But now the narrative, 2-3 years later after his inauguration here, is that I can't do anything about it. And we've said it episode after episode after episode. You can do something about it, but what you're trying to do is tie it to Ukraine, and you know what we're going to do, which meaning, like, you know, normal-minded Americans, we're not going to support it because we're giving way too much money to them. So by doing that, you're basically strangholding the idea that you can't do anything with the border when it's all in your power, and you're just making it so much more difficult, frustrating. And I mean, if we're going with authenticity here, you're definitely shooting yourself in the knee in terms of chance of getting reelected. I mean, every move he has made is just so backwards, wrong, and threatening to the country. So, and you use KGP, Ms. Karine Jean-Pierre, to spout the message, and she's just going to go by the talking points as she stutters through it and say, yeah, there's just nothing we can do. It's all on the Republicans. That's her big thing. It's Republican this, Republican that. You know, I don't know how much longer they can keep this shtick up without everyone at some point realizing this is so bogus.
Well, you know, there's the simplicity in it. The simplicity is you keep the border open and you allow people to just continue to funnel in, even after I'm not the president anymore, which very well could be November. It doesn't matter. It does not matter at all. Because Donald J. Trump, even if he wins the election, as I just painted out, and if it's him, he may be able to close the border, but the damage is already done. You'll now have 50 to 60 million people in this country. Most of them, as you have pointed out countless times, are young, able-bodied men, young men, 20s, 22. They're right in the prime of their reproduction lives. All those 50, 60 million people are going to wind up having babies. And we're going to wind up having a population of third world migrants that will be impossible to remove from the country. Now, you can talk about deportations, and I know that you have some stats about Joe's deportations. You could talk about deportations under Trump if he's going to say, hey, we're going to start deporting everybody. That's big talk. I don't think anybody will ever walk the walk, because how do you rip 60 million people out of society? How do you rip them out of society when their child is an American citizen? So make no mistake, it's simple in its design. Open the border, let them flood in, let them reproduce, and they will forever vote blue. That's that. And if you think that Joe Biden is going to deport people knowing that this is the path that they want to take, he and Obama and the World Economic Forum and the WHO and all the other different world leaders who want one world, he's not going to deport anybody. Don't we have statistics or something like that on deportations?
Oh, it is very, very sad. And it is from Fox Business, but it's a graphic. It's just a photographic, so Ryan will throw it up. But Elon Musk retweeted it. And it comes originally from Jim Banks. New data from ICE and CBP show that Biden has only deported 0.25% of the Venezuelans who have illegally entered our country. So not 25%, 0.25%. And the best way to put those numbers in perspective, just with Venezuelans alone, illegal Venezuelans, 335,000 encounters, only 800 of them have been deported.
Well,
so not even 1%, a quarter of 1%.
Does that not support what I just said? Right? Does that not? So think about this. You've got criminals running the streets, illegal aliens, MS-13.
Yeah, and you know, in that graphic, the byline is illegal migrant from Venezuela kills 12-year-old boy in car crash, from the one we discussed in the previous episode.
Every single day in this country, somebody is either severely hurt, killed, or sent to financial hell because illegal aliens are here. And when I say financial hell, I mean either you're getting your job stolen or you're getting your identification stolen. And you're screwed in either way, right? So think about that really long and hard when you take Trump's rhetoric and try to analyze it for what's coming ahead. Is Donald J. Trump, if he's president, going to be able to deport the amount of people he says he will? It didn't happen the first go-round. It probably won't happen the second go-round. And the reason why it won't happen the second go-round is simply because these Democrats have made it so literally impossible to try to get these people out of our country. So I'm telling people right now, you better start preparing for these people being in our country, and they just ain't leaving.
Yeah, and look, it's very frustrating because, you know, I know when it comes to talking about these illegal immigrants, Venezuelans are always usually a big sector. One of my closest friends is actually Venezuelan. I mean, like, he'll probably be in my wedding party, like, close friend.
Are you getting married that I don't know about?
What's that?
Are you getting married and I don't know?
Future wedding party.
Oh, future wedding party. Okay.
You know, like, as in, like, I know he would be in that group.
All right.
But he came here legally. He used the visa program in a legal manner, doesn't abuse it, and he's hardworking, and he's one of the greatest guys I know. And I remember always talking to him, and he said, like, you know, that country right now, there are good people there, but the ones that aren't good are coming up this way because, you know, they're released from prison, and instead of sticking around, they decide to migrate north, you know, do the whole Darien Gap thing. So, you know, we're not receiving the good of the good. We're receiving the worst of the bad, and they're all coming illegally, and they're, you know, not doing visas. They're just crossing the border or coming up through, you know, boating, and we're not sending them back. And I don't understand how the rhetoric has switched so dramatically. I mean, I keep going back. I know Ryan's been watching it too with me. You know, Laura Ingraham usually replays the talking points of Democrats, not even 10 years ago, like less than 10 years ago compared to today. And you would think, you know, you always say about like studying the brain, like someone like did an autopsy on their brain and just replaced it with an even more radical one. It just does not make sense. I mean, looking at this number, 335,000 encounters, only 800 deported. It doesn't make sense.
You just said something about the brain and about programming and this and that. I read this morning, and I know you have this story up ready to tell, that there is now going to be this new push of army of robots.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
Where everything is going to be done by robots. I mean, like Amazon. Amazon is feverishly trying to get this together so this way they could replace human beings with robots and their profits will only go up more. Why don't you tell us about the story and then I'll give you my comment on where I was going with it.
Yeah, this is out of Axios. So it's a company called Agility Robotics. They have announced its first fleet management platform, envisioning a day when hundreds of humanoid robots can be summoned and deployed at the touch of a button. There's intense competition among humanoid robot manufacturers to get their products into the industrial marketplace, where companies like Amazon and BMW are eager for their help. So, you know, those are two companies that deal with shipping and then obviously automobiles. But what's to say this doesn't expand into other territories?
And so now I go back to you saying about programmed. It will start with the Amazon pick and ship process. Then it will go to the car manufacturing and all of the manufacturing on the assembly line. I mean, we already have robotics doing a lot of that, but now you're going to have people who are actually what would be factory workers being replaced by robots. And as we improve this over the course of time, and the U.S. government watches these improvements and how automated everything is, you are going to see, I don't know if it's in my lifetime, it will be in yours, it will absolutely be in your children's, you will see the Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines, you will see the police and ICE and Border Patrol and anybody who carries out any sort of law enforcement that the government can control, I'm talking about the U.S. government, they will be what basically rules the law of rule, you know, the rule of law, I should say. They will be carrying out all jurisdictions on all people, and they will be programmed. And the question is, who programs them?
Totally.
So if they program them to be left-leaning, think about this. Every cop, every ICE agent, every Border Patrol agent, any federal agent is going to be programmed to the left, right?
Yeah, I mean, I forget this man's name. He's a pretty incredible scientist, but I was watching an interview with him. You know, he believes, especially with the way AI has been developed in these last 2 years alone, that by 2030, we can expect AI to be on the level of functioning human intelligence, almost like to a conscious level. And there's a fantastic movie. Maybe Ryan and I may watch it soon, or rewatch it, I should say. I think you've seen it too. iRobot with Will Smith.
Oh, yes.
And, you know, it's sci-fi-ish, but if you look at the overall concept, right? I mean, you're talking about how it could be used as a military or army force. What happens when it infiltrates every sector of life? They could be nursing homes. It could be you have your own standard model in your house to help you with chores and cooking and things like that. Well, how far are we going to take that when it comes to a level of them achieving self-consciousness? Or like you said, left-leaning programming. We've seen it in ChatGPT, in Amazon, in Meta, in Google Gemini. So when you take that, right, and make it almost as if it's going to be the robot's brain, that's going to be their process of thinking. It's a dangerous slope that, to your point, I definitely think in my lifetime, we're going to see ourselves hit. And then what happens when it starts becoming robot rights? You know, they achieve a level of self-consciousness that no one can control.
Oh, well, wait a second. If you don't treat a robot like they want to be treated, if you think the LGBTQ, gender crazy people are pissed off at everything. I mean, I just watched a video this morning of a male who identifies otherwise going bananas and berserk inside a restaurant at staff because one of the staff members referred to him as sir. Like, not hey guy, hey bud, hey pal, hey dude, sir, which is right away a sign of respect, right? And blows up. So what happens when the robots don't like the way they're treated? And you know, the crazy thing about this, Dennis, is that we're talking about these things will be programmed. They'll be programmed to the left. We already seen it. We've seen, you know, with Amazon's AI, with Google's AI, with all this stuff, it's always that left-leaning message that's getting out. But here's the thing. The left-leaning message, especially on crime, does not work. The next story you have here is about how blue cities are now turning to red in terms of their policies for crime, because their ridiculousness over the last couple of years has done nothing but destroy the cities. What do you have there?
Another Axios report. So from coast to coast, American cities known for their liberal policies are taking more aggressive conservative approaches for fighting crime. It's a surprising and stark reversal for Democrats who pushed for significant criminal justice reform 4 years ago. The changes expose intense pressure on Democrats to adopt tougher anti-crime laws and policies they once ridiculed, and reflect rising fears about violent crime among voters on both ends of the political spectrum. Now, what's fascinating about this being a topic load, I have to give credit to my buddy Sam on this one. I had sent you this video. He had sent me the video originally. In Hartford, Connecticut, for example, I mean, Connecticut is a very predominantly blue state, but the crime has gotten so bad there. And, you know, obviously cop enforcement has been devalued, so to say. Citizens, and primarily black citizens at that, have decided to form almost like a coalition, like a guard. And they've been doing street or day and night patrols in Hartford to prevent crime at other citizens. So maybe Ryan can play that video real quick.
Yeah, let's go.
A group of people look to patrol and clean up Garden Street.
It's important to come out here because we believe that we have to keep the community safe, we have to keep the community clean. And we're doing this by being out here for a few hours, cleaning up the community, picking up the trash.
Garden Street has seen its share of gun violence, including a double homicide in February, which is what prompted the push for civilian armed patrols.
The people on Garden Street came to us and asked us for help.
While there did not appear to be open carry, which is banned in Connecticut, organizers previously told us those armed would be licensed and have concealed weapons. They were part of Minister Cornell Lewis's self-defense brigade.
We are not vigilantes. We are a group of people that are disciplined, who train, who go to the shooting range.
The effort faces opposition, including from an anti-violence group and the Hartford mayor. Mayor Arunan Aralampalan wrote in part, "Our community has seen so much pain and trauma, and what we need is for those who love this city to do the hard work of healing that pain." The mayor added that the city did not need people being trained to walk the streets with guns and trying to take the law into their own hands.
Can anybody go for the gun range?
Earlier, there was a talk about gun rights, including how to get a permit, safe storage and carry, and personal use. The founder of the brigade says they plan to do the patrols a few times a week.
We'll be patrolling at night. So it's not just a one-time thing. It's going to be on a consistent basis.
You know, Dennis, you know, for people who didn't see the video, the entire, if you want to call them vigilantes, was all black. They're all black. And they're patrolling a black neighborhood. And this is what I try to say all the time. You know, people get grouped, guilty by association. I've said it a gazillion times. The majority of African Americans in this country do not want the kind of crap that's going on in their cities. But for some reason, they keep on voting blue. Last night, I was at a dinner, and this guy said to me, he says, "I think Trump's going to pull over all the Latinos and all the blacks." And I said, "I think so too, because they're getting very frustrated, especially when it comes to crime." In fact, at the end of the show here, we're going to reveal some statistics about how people are just leaving blue cities and going to red states, right?
I mean, look, remember what I said on the, maybe it was yesterday's episode. Unless you're an elected Democrat or a CNN, MSNBC pundit, you know, because they're going to be locked in. They're never going to sway. It's part of their overall messaging. I think we are going to see a swath of misguided Democrat voters who probably voted Biden on the first go because, you know, it's like, okay, you know, Trump did this and that, and now it's time to switch over. And then they've seen the disaster that it's been for the last 4 years, and they're going to realize, okay, well, when it was Trump that was in office, I had more money in my pocket. There was more sanity being conveyed. Yeah, you know, Trump's got his out there moments, but they are coherent and logical and usually representative of his personality, whereas everything Biden has done has felt fake, old, senile, don't even need to go further. So my hope, to your point, is that the demographics that we're always thinking, they're just going to vote blue, at least for the general election, I'm hoping there is that switch that's starting to be made.
No doubt. And if we're wrong, or if the Democrats cheat and Joe Biden stays in there, you are going to see more vigilante groups. And I don't really want to call them vigilantes. He said, you know, they're calling us vigilantes. So that's what we're not. You're going to see more communities open up to the idea that armed citizens are going to patrol and protect. because we won't be able to trust anybody else who has somebody they answer to in terms of government, whether it's a local police department who answers to the mayor, whatever it is, people are going to start taking things into their own hands. Now, with that being said, we're going to make a shift here, still talking about crime and talking about things where you just sit there and say, what the hell is going on in this country? We are going to play the video of a girl named Kaylee. She's 15 years old. She has the same color skin as I do. And you see this video of where she's getting pounded by a girl, looks about her age, almost double her size, if not triple her size, and doesn't have the same color skin I do. That's my nice way of saying it here, because now it's time for us to leave. If you're listening to us on Apple Podcasts, got to stop at this point. You're watching us on Facebook or on Rumble, got to stop at this point. We have now got to go over to Team DML and do that there in our membership site, because the things that we're about to show and talk about here aren't allowed on these platforms. They're just not allowed, notwithstanding Rumble. Rumble's a lot more open to things. But even that, they would classify this as something violent and against the community standards, maybe. And that's insane. This video needs to be shown, because this is the kind of thing that's happening in the streets. And you know what? You're not hearing about it, because if the skin color was switched, it would be national news on the front of every single thing, what we're about to show you. So if you want to watch the rest of this program, if you want to see it every single day in its full entirety, you've got to be a Team DML member. Go to teamdml.com and sign up. You could do that on your computer, or you could use the DML News app. You download it for free from the Google Play Store or the Apple App Store. You go to tab 5. It says interact. You go to the very top of that. It says Team DML memberships. Boom, you're in. Live chat. You get a lot of other different great stuff with Team DML that I'm not even going to talk about right here, but you get it. Hopefully you will get it.
Get the Dennis Michael Lynch podcast every day by subscribing on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, and download the DML News app from the Google Play Store or the Apple App Store for breaking news, merchandise, films, exclusive content, and Team DML.